Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
Have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt as though you're literally walking through the valley of the shadow of death, late in bed at night with a heart so heavy that you didn't know how you would begin to face the day when dawn finally broke? Charles Spurgeon once said, "Hope is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, but only discovered in the night of adversity." According to recent data, feelings of hopelessness, particularly among young people, are on the rise. The percentage of U.S. adults who report having been diagnosed with depression at some point in their lifetime has reached 29%, nearly 10% higher than in 2015, according to a 2023 Gallup poll. Today's author believes hope is something we can possess, but it is also something we can lose. You can have faith, but still be hopeless. After being a Christian for over 60 years, Nancy Missler found that she had lost her hope when she was faced with multiple overwhelming physical challenges. Nancy explains, "When you lose your hope, you not only lose your mooring and your grounding, you also lose your vision and your dreams. But God loved me so much that He used my pain and suffering to teach me what real hope in Him means." Her motivation for writing today's book was simple. "I see hopelessness everywhere, but not just in non-believers, but widespread in the Christian body as well." If, like Nancy, you find yourself in a season of hopelessness, struggling to find your way in the eye of the storm, then come be a part as we explore Hope Against Hope, The Anchor of Our Soul, written by Nancy Missler. After an incredible journey through pain and suffering, Nancy Missler came to understand that hope is the tie or the connection to the Lord behind the veil. Hope not only allows us to see Him who is invisible in the midst of our trials, it also gives us the endurance to go on. Only hope can become the anchor of our soul when everything around us is crashing and burning, Hebrews 6:18-19. Like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, we must learn to unconditionally trust the Lord to do the impossible, regardless of what we see, what we think, and what we feel, Romans 4:18. This book is about the incredible blessings of hope, what hope really is, why it is vitally important, and how hope is our only anchor when everything around us is lost in the storm. God is not only the author of all love, but the Bible is also His message of hope to a dying world. Nancy was living in what felt like a hopeless situation and wanted to use her own experience to help others walk through their difficult times without falling away, but instead letting some of those same circumstances push them even closer to the Lord. Without hope, it's a proven fact, we'll become barren, infertile, and totally lifeless, and the enemy will come in, kill our dreams, and destroy our faith. Proverbs 13:12 says that without hope, our hearts will become sick and no fruit will be produced in our lives. Nancy's prayer was that the Lord would use her words not only to help others step out of the flame and into His arms, but also to help them turn their challenging situations into a well of blessing. Nancy cautions us, "You don't die if you lose your faith, but you do die if you lose your hope." Hopelessness occurs, Nancy explains, when you pray and pray and pray and nothing happens, nothing changes. In fact, just the opposite occurs. Everything continues to turn out against you. When this is the situation we find ourselves in, the one question that comes to mind is, how can we reconcile God's word with the traumatic things that so many of us are going through right now? Nancy shares, "Most of my life, I had hope in Christ. It always seemed more like a cerebral intellectual thing, not a tangible asset. In fact, over 30 years ago, when I first began teaching, I could not have told you the difference between hope and faith, even if I'd wanted to. But after all the earth-shattering things the Lord has allowed in my life since then, He has not only shown me what hope is, but also the importance of intimately knowing His faithfulness and His trustworthiness. Hope means trust. This is such a key point. We must trust that Jesus is who He says He is and will do all that He has promised in His perfect timing, according to the Father's perfect will, for our ultimate good. Not for our ease, our pleasure, our wants, but for our ultimate good. And only our Heavenly Father, who created us and knows us, can determine what that is. Through the most difficult experience of her life, the Lord showed Nancy how to see His hand in the darkness, which gave her the hope and endurance she needed to carry on. "I not only have faith that Christ is who He says He is," Nancy declares, "but I also have the trust in the hope that He will perform His promises to me in His perfect timing and way." We must say to ourselves, Nancy asserts, "I know He loves me. I know He will keep His word no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter how long it takes, no matter how bad it gets, and no matter what I have to go through, I know He will work all these things together for my good." Romans 8:28. Understanding this is really essential if we're going to move into deeper maturity in Christ. I understand that this isn't easy to translate into our daily lives, especially when the dark clouds roll in, when we are tired and weary of the storms of life. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 validates this and tells us that our short time of distress here on earth will result in God's greatest blessings in our future. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." 1 Peter 1:6-9 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." I've personally come to love the phrase from verse 6, "for a little while." We must remember that compared to eternity, this life is just for a little while. Of course, there are times when this life seems anything but. At times, our pain feels endless, hope a fleeting shadow that we cannot grasp. Usually, that is because we are seeking to find it in our circumstances, our feelings, our actions, instead of looking to Christ, the only place where true living hope can be found. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that the Christian life is like a race. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." As today's author reminds us, whether we like it or not, if we are believers, we are already enrolled and entered into that race. The goal, or the finish line, I believe, is what Philippians 3:14 calls the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling of God is the ability to rule and reign with Him in the coming kingdom. Our life here on earth is simply the training ground for that privilege. Hope is a vital part of God's plan. Without hope, we will never reach that goal or that finish line. What is so sad, Nancy reveals, is that many of us have never been taught the real reason for our salvation. Thus, we haven't really understood why we've been called by God, what God expects from us here and now, or where He is taking us in the future. Consequently, the question remains, if we don't understand what our future goal is, how can we be expected to have hope to weather out our present circumstances? Naturally, we won't have the confidence, the trust, the perseverance we need to endure the dark times. This is why hope must be a living hope, Nancy proclaims. Like faith, hope cannot depend upon something we've experienced 3 years ago. It must be a living, day-to-day hope based on God's love and His faithfulness today. Realistically, all of us have been physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually hopeless at one time or another, and hopelessness occurs when you pray and pray and pray, and yet everything seems to continue to turn against you. For several years, Nancy had wanted to write a book on hope. She finally completed her first draft, but felt that there was still something missing, so she set it aside for a year. What she found out over that time was that what was missing from the first manuscript was personal experience. That's when she was diagnosed with a malignant melanoma in her nose, and only by removing her entire nose area would save her life. Her doctor informed her that if she did nothing, it would be fatal within a few months. After praying and contemplating what the doctors had said, Nancy decided that she had to make a choice. Either let God use the whole experience for good and share with others, or feel sorry for herself, go downhill, and literally die. She decided there was no better time nor greater personal experience than to finish this precious book she had started when life was going so smoothly. Bear in mind, as she wrote these chapters, the Lord was teaching her the very same thing she wants to share with you and me. You can tell that this book was truly written from her heart, not only to encourage others going through similar difficulties, but also for herself as she faced her own tough and challenging circumstances. Nancy reveals that she got to the point where she didn't even know how to pray anymore. She expected so many miracles to come out of her ordeal, but instead, everything backfired and went downhill. She was so taken back when things didn't occur as she had hoped, but even got worse. My lack of faith, Nancy tells us, caused her to become a murmurer. She shared that she continually complained and grumbled. In the midst of her spiritual battle and intense pain, it became very difficult for her to see the Lord's hand, which affected her hope and her trust. My expectations of what God was going to do and my presumption that He would do it my way prevented me from seeing the Lord in the middle of the crisis and from hearing His word. These things are not necessarily sin, Nancy notes, but because I held on to them and didn't recognize the damage they were doing, it led to doubt and unbelief, which is a sin. I didn't see that then, Nancy acknowledges, so I just continued to ask God to remove the pain. But still, He didn't. All He kept saying to me is, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength comes into its own when you are weak." Here's where the confusion comes for many of us, Nancy counsels. We read the scripture to get a promise from God that ministers to us. We interpret that promise or that scripture in our own mind. And when it doesn't materialize in the way we think it should, we get confused and discouraged. That's what happened to me. It's not that God was unfaithful to me. It was that I jumped to my own conclusions about His timing and His way of fulfilling His promises. It's only when I began to honestly confess my doubt and let go of my own interpretation and my own expectations of what God was going to do, Nancy proclaims, and instead grabbed a hold of the fact that God will be faithful to me no matter what happens, that I began to have some victory in my life. Psalms 84:5-7 states, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one." As a side note, going from strength to strength means to become an overcomer. The point of the Psalms passage is that even though these believers experienced the darkness and confusion of the valley of tears, they were able to turn it around and make a well. In other words, they knew how to trust the Lord in the midst of the darkness and let the whole experience make them stronger. The pilgrims made this valley, this gorge, this canyon, into a valley of praise and a well of water, Nancy explains. Scripture tells us the only way our stream can be made perfect or complete is when we are emptied of self and filled with the Lord. In other words, only in our weakness, our emptiness can we become strong in Him. The bottom line is this, Nancy asserts. The place that God answers our prayers and the place where He finally turned our darkness into light, our trials into blessings, and our confusion into understanding is in our own valley of tears. This is the time when we finally relinquish total control of our lives over to Him, in spite of the darkness, in spite of the confusion, in spite of our circumstances. That's when He turns our strength into His strength. That is when He will use every bit of our trial for His glory. And that is when He will give us the supernatural ability to overcome and carry on. Hebrews tells us over and over again that it is only after we flee to the Lord for refuge and consolation that we can enter into His rest. Why does God allow some of these very difficult situations into our lives? This is a very difficult concept for many. Most of us want to think that if we do the right things and love God, we will be blessed. But if we do the wrong things and we don't love Him, we will be punished. The concept that good people experience bad things is so difficult for us to swallow. But His ways are definitely not our ways, completely past our own understanding and totally unsearchable. Life is a continual test to see if we will really trust Him. Interestingly enough, trust and hope are essentially the same thing. Nancy queries, do we still hope in God when He allows the unthinkable into our lives? Do we, like Moses, hold up the word of God when the enemy advances? Or do we do, like I did, drop the word and let the enemy in? Isaiah 50:10 asks, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. Notice that the person being spoken of not only fears the Lord, but also obeys His voice. Consequently, this scripture is talking about a believer who is faithful and obedient, and yet it is said that he walks in darkness and has no light. God exhorts this person to continue to trust in the Lord and remain strong. Nancy reminds us that God calls us for fellowship. He loves us and wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. In order to do that, however, He must conform us into His image of holiness, and that means we must learn to trust Him in the dark times. Many of us have had previous times in our lives where we trusted the Lord, but then something happened, everything went haywire, and we gave up. In His love, God returns and once again asks, will you trust me in the darkness this time? Will you hope in me now? Will you once again rely upon me? This happens over and over and over again, Nancy counsels, until we finally get the message and learn to trust and hope in a Father we don't always see, whom we don't always understand, and who we don't always know what He is doing. Isaiah 55:8-9. Nancy learned that it was much easier for her to trust God going through difficult circumstances than it was to trust Him going through constant physical pain. Pain wears you down and can become unbearable at times, Nancy warns. You choose to trust God, and you choose, and you choose. But if you don't know His word by heart and haven't memorized His promises, it is very difficult to hold on. This is where pain in the darkness certainly got the best of me. My point, Nancy exhorts, is that it is important not only to be in the Word every day, but also to memorize some of God's promises, so that if you are ever taken out, as I was, you can still hold on. You can trust Him in the dark. You can still see His handprint. It is physically dark, yes, but spiritually, it's light. Unfortunately, Nancy cautions, it also works the other way around. When you don't trust Him, and you don't recognize His hand of love in all the little things around you, both the spiritual realm and the physical are dark, and you will falter and sink. Some of the lessons she learned through all her hard and dark times is that if we continue to confess our lack of faith, make faith choices to trust Him anyway, and continue to speak forth His word, we will have a better chance to endure, gain better eyesight to see His hand in the darkness, and thus more perseverance to make it through the physical pain or difficult circumstances. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Notice that if we trust in the Lord, and if we acknowledge Him, then He will direct our paths. This doesn't mean we emotionally feel like trusting Him all the time, or mentally just say, I trust you, but that we simply choose by faith to trust Him. What this is saying, Nancy affirms, is that we can never stop hoping in the Lord, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how we feel, no matter if we understand what He is doing or not. Even if we don't see His hand, we must continually choose by faith to trust His promises and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He will come through. Remember that when we say continue to trust the Lord, this doesn't mean we must feel like trusting Him. It's not a feeling choice we're making, but a faith choice. Nancy discusses the difference between faith choices, non-feeling choices, and emotional choices in one of the book's chapters. In chapter 2, Nancy clearly defines what hope is and why it is so important. She reveals that hope means confidently stepping out on God's promises and being assured of His trustworthiness, even though we can't see how His promises will be fulfilled or when they will be answered. Hope is knowing that God will be faithful to keep His word no matter what we see or what we feel. Hope is knowing that God will do exactly what He has promised in His way. Hope is the security to withstand and endure the struggle and the wait between receiving the promises and their fulfillment in our lives. The whole purpose is to refine us so that our spirit will not be influenced and affected by anything in our outward man or our circumstances. He doesn't want anything to be able to move us from the peace and joy of His presence from oneness of spirit. He sanctifies our spirit and soul so that He might produce Himself in us, and we might begin to experience His presence and fullness, no matter where we are, no matter what is going on in our lives. The lesson here is that if the Spirit is truly the master of the body, God's presence is always with us, no matter what is occurring around us. Nancy reminds us that the enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy us with all the things that happen in our lives. But God wants to use our circumstances, no matter how bad, for His glory. If you are struggling with hopelessness, if you have been in painful, difficult circumstances for so long that you can't find the light in all of the darkness, Nancy Missler has written a most compelling work born out of her own walk through the Valley of the Shadows. She wants to share with you what God taught her on her journey, what hope is, how it differs from faith, and when hope is lost, how do we regain it? I happened upon this book the day I received the news that my father had gone home to be with the Lord. I find myself simply awestruck at times at how the Lord works in our lives in moments when we are not even looking for His touch. Hope Against Hope was just the anchor I needed to withstand that very difficult season of my life, and I will forever be grateful for Nancy's willingness to share her intimate and personal journey through pain and suffering in the hope of bringing hope to others. Hope Against Hope, The Anchor of Our Soul, written by Nancy Missler, can be found online and is currently available in paperback and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf, none of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended does not mean that all teachings and writings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.